speaking out on Alberta's Bill 10.
The perception is, we're not hearing it yet from the education minister, but the perception is that this government's really going to back down. Their indication seems to be that they're not going to be forcing schools to implement these guidelines.
In the news, the federal government has now tabled its long-awaited legislation on doctor-assisted suicide, some new stats on sex-selective abortions, and an update on the opposition to the Legal Leaders for Diversity campaign.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The Trudeau government has finally tabled its long-awaited legislation on doctor-assisted suicide. Bill C-14 was presented in the Commons last Thursday. It falls far short of what the Joint Commons Senate Committee was calling for in terms of access to assisted death. For example, patients have to have, quote, a grievous and irremediable medical condition in which natural death has become reasonably foreseeable, and mental illness will not be grounds for a request for assisted death. The law also sets out a 15-day waiting period and requires a written request with at least two witnesses and two supporting independent medical opinions. ARPA policy analyst Colin Postma.
A lot of the things that were more controversial in those recommendations, like allowing euthanasia for minors under the age of 18, for those with mental illnesses, things like that, are not included in this bill, so it's not as radical as some people were fearing. The only problem with it is it seems to be a little bit too simplistic to really be able to deal with how deep and convoluted this issue is and is going to be.
For example, Postma says the issue of euthanasia for minors will almost certainly end up having to be amended.
The wording that they use with regards to allowing euthanasia for mature minors could easily be challenged in court, because if they define euthanasia as health care and then require that only people 18 and older can have access to it, it's just a court decision waiting to happen, because, you know, why are we refusing health care to children under the age of 18?
Postma says it's really only a matter of time now until we move to a much less regulated model of euthanasia, because while the bill appears to contain some safeguards, they ultimately can't hold.
The statements are not really strong enough to prevent those future court decisions or future legal challenges from undermining that. And evidence from the Benelux states, so Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg, has proven that the moment this is legalized, that slippery slope thing happens. And I know a lot of people say, well, the slippery slope is a fallacy. But the very fact that the Joint Committee has been recommending these sorts of things shows that that slippery slope exists. You know, there's no way that this is just going to end with this bill. The people who have been pushing for all those things that showed up in the Joint Committee's recommendations, they'll still keep pushing just as hard for those same things. And we have no doubt that within a couple of years, we'll see all those recommendations popping up in legislation again.
We've got a link up to the full text of the bill on the Lighthouse News homepage. Parliament has until June 6th to debate and pass some version of this bill. More evidence last week of just how serious the issue of sex-selective abortion is becoming in Canada. Studies from St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto, published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal, show just how prevalent the issue is becoming, especially in Canada's Indo-Canadian community, and more particularly in families that already have several girls and don't want any more. We need a law's Mike Schutten.
The study analyzed 6 million births of Canadian-born women from 1990 to 2011, found that the average ratio is about 105 boys to 100 girls. That study also analyzed 180,000 Indian-born women during that same time frame, 1990 to 2011. And it found that by the time the woman had her third child, the ratios were 138 boys to 100 girls. But what's very interesting is that if the Indian-born woman had had an abortion before her third child, the ratio was 326 boys to 100 girls.
And Schutten says there's lots of anecdotal evidence to back this up. Here's an example.
One quote that I read under the CTV News article, a woman who says, "Gender selection is very real here in Canada." She goes on to say, "I worked as a nurse on the Danforth in Toronto and encountered it frequently. One couple in particular comes to mind. The mom and a dad had three young daughters and were thrilled they were having another child until they found out they were having another girl. After receiving the news, they left the office, and within seconds, the father phoned me, and his exact words were, 'Arrange an abortion for my wife. I don't want any more effing girls.'"
Schutten says the response to the studies has been interesting and again shows a real disconnect within the so-called pro-choice movement.
What we're seeing here is, again, a separation between those who call themselves women's rights activists and those who call themselves abortion rights activists. And there is a striking difference between the two. They are not one and the same.
The other aspect of the study is the way it focuses on one particular ethnic group, women and families of East Asian descent. But Chutin says that focus should not be misinterpreted.
Amrita Mishra, she's a representative from the Indo-Canadian Women's Association. She's quoted in many different news outlets as saying, this is not an Indian problem. This is a Canadian problem. And I think that that's because we are a multicultural country. And if we want to accept people from all different cultures and all different walks of life, then we together as a country need to embrace this problem.
On that particular issue, We Need a Law researcher Anna Nienhuis had an op-ed published last week on the whole notion of abortion and cultural profiling. It's definitely worth a read, and we link to it from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. And finally, remember the Legal Leaders for Diversity? That's a group of almost 100 big companies across the country who've basically said that in the name of diversity, they won't be hiring any law grads from Trinity Western if that school ever gets going. Not only that, but they've committed to ensuring so-called diversity in their workforces and in the staffing of companies they contract with. Last year, there was an attempt to change that policy with limited success. Now, a group of businessmen in Ontario is trying again. Ben Lindebaum is spearheading this. He says he and a few other Christian businesses in his area went to their local Royal Bank to complain about the policy, and they ended up getting the attention of the bank's head office in Toronto. So they've decided to expand the effort.
We thought, well, if three businesses come together and we get this reaction from the RBC, then it must mean something to them. And so we thought if we could come together as a much larger group of businesses and approach each member of the LLD individually, maybe we can have a much greater impact.
He says the strategy is to get individual small businesses to put the big corporations on the spot individually with regard to their perspective on this issue.
We are not asking the companies to recant their stand against Trinity Western University as much as we're asking them how, if they claim to support diversity, why Christianity doesn't fall under that umbrella or that realm of diversity. We're pointedly asking them, what is your viewpoint of Christianity? And we're approaching them as individual companies so that they each have to say how they as individual companies feel and not that it falls into the board of the LLD.
Lindebaum says they've got about 60 supporting businesses on board and they're looking for more. The group is called United Christian Business Leaders of Canada. The email address is ucbloc@gmail.com. We've got it up on the Lighthouse News homepage. Back with more after this.
Alberta parents, who do you think should parent your child? The government? Your child's teacher? Or you? With the passing of Bill 10, Alberta parents will no longer be informed of the most intimate struggles their children face, including those dealing with sexual identity. Yet the government admits that children who identify as lesbian, gay, or transgender are at a higher risk of suicide. What happens if children are harmed? And parents were never informed of their struggle at school. Suicide rates are lowest among youth with strongly supportive parents. So why does the Alberta government want to cast a net of ignorance over all Alberta parents? Bill 10 must be amended to protect children, to protect religious freedom, and to return parents to their rightful position as primary educators for their children. Join Parents for Choice in Education at our event on May 14th at the Alberta Legislature. For complete details, see parentchoice.ca. Again, that's parentchoice.ca.
And we're back on the program. Remember this.
If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing.
That was folk singer Bob Dylan way back in 1964, one of his first hits called The Times They Are A-Changin'. The Times They Are A-Changin' is also the theme of a tour that ARPA conducted in Alberta last week, talking about Bill 10 and parental rights in education, the stuff you just heard about in that commercial break we had. ARPA's executive director, Mark Penninga, and lawyer Andre Schutten made several stops throughout the province talking to parents about changes in the education system. I have them both on the line from a hotel room in Edmonton. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be with you, Al.
Yeah, thanks, Al.
The times certainly are a change. And I mean, it was an interesting choice of theme for this tour that you're doing in Alberta. Talk to me a little bit about why you chose that and how this changing times thing is playing itself out.
2.5 years ago, when we last went through Alberta on this topic of education, and then again 1.5 years ago, both times we said that Alberta has some of the most educational freedoms in North America, something to celebrate. But it was just days after that last tour where things changed very fast, where we now see through these new educational guidelines and some of the legislation that's passed, Alberta has become a leader of promoting a radical ideology when it comes to parental authority, when it comes to sexuality and gender through the education system. So indeed, the times have changed, but what hasn't changed are God's standards. So we read one of the verses of Bob Dylan's song in the presentation. I'll just read it right now. It goes like this. He said, "Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times they are a-changing." And we point out to the audience that Mr. Dylan was wrong 50 years ago, and the folks pushing these guidelines are wrong today. God's standards when it comes to communicating to the next generation haven't changed in thousands of years and won't. And it's our job to communicate these standards in a loving way to this current Alberta government and throughout the land.
Obviously, a lot of the folks listening to this program weren't able to attend those presentations you made. Andre, give me a quick overview of the kinds of things that folks were hearing in these presentations.
We start, Mark lays out the political context. How did we get here to this point today in Alberta in such a short amount of time? And then I tackle 4 fundamental problems with the guidelines. And that is that they undermine parental rights. They're big overreach. They reach into the sphere of family and they change language. They politicize language. They attack our fundamental freedoms like freedom of religion and freedom of association. And a very big point that I like to emphasize is that they actually harm children, particularly they harm transgendered children themselves, the very ones whom the NDP government in Alberta is purporting to protect. And so I point out a number of different facts, including the fact that transgendered people are ending their lives by suicide at a rate of 41%. 41% of transgendered individuals die by suicide. So obviously there's a problem there. There's an issue there. And when we look at the social scientific evidence, the psychology, etc., we're seeing that reinforcing gender dysphoria, reinforcing that is actually more harmful than good. And so we're trying to speak common sense. We're trying to speak medical sense. And we're trying to speak the truth of God's word into this context to show that we really do love our neighbors as ourselves. And that includes transgendered people. We love them, and so we want to do what's best for them, not to simply accommodate their individual preferences, which are actually psychological delusions. I try to then, after that, give a Christian perspective on what would be a Christian response to transgenderism. I hope it's a biblical Christian perspective. We talk a little bit about civil disobedience. If these guidelines are in fact imposed on our schools, what is our response supposed to be? Do we disobey the state? And then Mark ends with a great rally cry asking for political action on this point, respectful political action where we call on our elected representatives in Alberta to not implement these guidelines.
So this tour has not just been about speaking to the supporters. You've also spent some time in Edmonton speaking with some of the political leadership in Alberta. What's that been like?
It's been really encouraging. We've had more meetings with MLAs than we've expected. Some of the meetings happened as we were there in the legislature buildings. A number of them indicated that they've received, as a government, over 15,000 pieces of communication on these guidelines. And that's a big reason why the perception is, we're not hearing it yet from the minister, the education minister, but the perception is that this government's really going to back down. Their indication seems to be that they're not going to be forcing schools to implement these guidelines yet. And that's thanks in a large part to the fact that many of our listeners have actually done something about it. And I want to encourage all our listeners to not give up, not relent now. Make sure that they understand that we're not going to be happy if they hold off just for now. We want to maintain parental authority and the well-being of our neighbors long-term. This is a long-term game. We still have to hear it from the mouth of the Minister of Education, of course, but it definitely seems to be something we're hearing from many other mouths in the legislature. So yes, it goes to show when we actually do something about our concerns, they get heard.
Okay, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Al.
Great to be with you.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.